90 to 60 recut. Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California.
This is an interview with Rodney Chow, and I'm Emma Louie. Today is January 24, 1978. What is your full name?
Okay, my full name is Rodney Harvey Chow.
And what is your Chinese name?
My Chinese name is Zhou Gingfei.
Zhou Gingfei.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, when were you born?
How old are you? I was born in 1929, May 27, in San Francisco. I am now 51 years old.
I see. So that made you, let's see, what generation? You're the...
I am the fourth generation in America on my mother's side, and possibly the third generation on my father's side. However, I would presume I am the second generation born in America on my mother's side. And
okay, now why is that?
Simply because my mother and my grandfather, mm-hmm. although they were here, they were born in China.
Okay. Now, who was the first in your family to come here?
The first to come here was my great-grandfather, who was imported as a coolie to work on the Union Pacific Railroad.
And do you remember the year or anything? Well, that would have been...
It was the late 1800s.
1800s.
Mm-hmm.
And now, did he settle here, your great-grandfather?
Yes, he came here and worked until he was in his 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And after the railroad construction was completed, he settled in Placerville and worked in the gold mines.
I see. Now, did he stay in Placerville, though?
Yes, he stayed in Placerville until he made enough money to finally go back to China to get a wife.
I see. And then...
then that's when my grandfather was born. And then when my grandfather was old enough, he came to America.
Now, by that time, did your grandfather come here to America to join his father, or was your great-grandfather back in China?
No, my great-grandfather was left in China, and my grandfather came here on his own.
Do you know how old your grandfather was when he came here?
I have no idea, and I am not quite sure of the accuracy of what I'm telling you about my grandfather.
Right. Now, your grandfather is, what is his name?
My grandfather's name is, gosh, I don't know that name. All I know, he's Sing Lee, that's
Sing
all.
Lee. He's a Lee.
Yeah.
Okay. And so then when your grandfather came here, where did he go? Where did he settle?
He went to San Francisco.
It's working. We can... Then your grandfather came here. Now, did he stay the whole time in San Francisco then? Did he make trips back to China?
He made 9 trips back to China.
Oh.
And that is the, and one of the trips, my uncle and my mother was born in China. And after that, when my mother came here when she was 9 years old. And after that, he never made a trip back.
He
stayed over here.
Now, was your grandfather in business here, or was, you know, what kind of work was he doing?
Well, he had, evidently, my great-grandfather had accumulated quite a bit of money and panning gold.
Mm-hmm.
And so my grandfather never really did much work. He never worked for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
He started the store and then got tired of it and sold it and started another store. And that's the way he lived all his life.
What kind of stores were they, do you know?
Well, he was a sheet metal shop, and then from there I understand he also had a butcher shop, and then he sold Chinese medicine, and those are some of the things I'm not real clear as to what he what he really had. All I know is, as far as I can remember, he never really did much work.
I see. Now, do you know what area of China your great-grandfather
yes.
came from on your mother's side?
My mother's side came from Zhongshan, the Longdu mm-hmm. Area.
Mm-hmm. And then how about, let's see, your mother came here. She was 9 years old. And what year was that?
Let's see. 1924.
And then, was she the oldest child? Was she?
No, she's the. I think she is the oldest. Yes, I think she. I don't know if she's older than my uncle or she's older.
I see. So then, your grandfather brought his wife and his two children, and then subsequently, did he have other children?
Yes, there are a total of six.
Six people.
Six, yeah.
Okay, so. Now, your grandfather's name, I think you said you didn't remember.
No, I never did know it.
You never did know it. Then the person in your family who would know that name would be...
my grandfather. I mean, my uncle.
Your uncle.
My uncle,
see. And
yes.
Your uncle's name is...
Jonah Lee.
Dr. Jonah Lee?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's in San Francisco.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, how about on your father's side, then? Who was the first to come to this country in your father's side?
My great-grandfather.
Your great-grandfather?
No, my grandfather.
Your grandfather and your
yes.
father's side.
Yes, he traveled. We know he was in Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
We know that. We know he was in the Caribbean, or Jamaica, or somewhere around the Caribbean islands, and in Hawaii.
Now, what was he doing in Jamaica? How did he get there?
I imagine he was just... a laborer or some sort. When it go back that far back, we don't know too much of our family history.
How about when he went to Hawaii then? What was he doing there?
I don't know.
I see. Then where was your father born?
He was born in Wailuku, Hawaii.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now, your grandfather on your father's side then, did he marry in China or did he...
He married in China.
And then brought a wife.
Yeah.
To Hawaii,
where
your father was born.
Right, and we know absolutely nothing about him except for that.
I see. Now, when did your father come here then to the United States, to the mainland?
Mainland, he came here just before, he came here in 1918, I think it was,
uh-huh.
and he went to the town of Lok.
Oh, did he settle there?
Yeah, he was a sharecropper.
Mm-hmm.
And in those days, anyone who wanted a business mm-hmm. had to sharecrop. They couldn't own land. So he sharecropped, he farmed 200 acres of Bartlett pears.
Now, Bartlett pears?
Yes.
And then did he, how long did he stay in Lok?
He stayed in, wait a minute, he didn't come in 19. He was there earlier than that in
mm-hmm.
Lok. He was just a teenager. And I say he was in Lok probably close to 7 to 10 years
mm-hmm.
farming
the pears.
And in 1929,
mm-hmm.
that was the year I was born,
mm-hmm.
the crash was starting at that time, and he was wiped out. Completely.
And did he? So he sharecropped this entire 200 acres.
The 200 acres was his. He owned the 200 acres, but he didn't own the land. So the way they did it back in those days was you pay your rent by sharecropping.
Mm-hmm. I see. So he had other people working
yes.
for him then.
That's right. He had people working for him.
Mm-hmm.
And. Sharecropping back in those days were quite a merciless rent, because by the time you paid your share to the owner of the land, you didn't really have too much money left. Sharecropping is sharecroppers throughout history.
Uh-huh.
I don't think are ever made good.
Mm-hmm. So then, what happened then with the crash of 29?
Well, in a crash of 1929, he had. Filipino workers
mm-hmm.
that pick his crop, these
mm-hmm.
migrant workers,
mm-hmm.
and they picked his crop. He had previously always shipped his pears to the east,
mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. back to, I don't know, it was Chicago or someplace. Mm-hmm. And when the crash came, there was no market for his pears.
Mm-hmm.
So they refused his product, shipped it back to Sacramento, and then they started to rot, and then the health department condemned it, and he had to hire another crew to bury it.
Mm-hmm.
And he had already was working on borrowed money mm-hmm. for that crop. And then he, after losing his shirt on that crop, the ranch just next to him had a pestilence, and it spread over to his tree,
mm-hmm.
his trees, and he was chopping down trees, and he just couldn't make it. He lost mm-hmm. everything completely.
Oh. So then what happened to him then?
Well, then he took, that was just my sister and myself was the only one at that time,
mm-hmm.
so he left us two with my mother, with my grandparents.
I see.
Then he proceeded to come down to Los Angeles,
uh-huh.
and his first job in Los Angeles was a dishwasher.
Oh, at a restaurant?
Yes, yeah. he worked as a dishwasher, and then from a dishwasher he worked up to become the chef.
Uh-huh.
It was a very short period, about maybe a half a year to a year.
Mm-hmm.
And he only worked for somebody just long enough to, he bought himself a little truck.
Uh-huh.
Then he started peddling fish.
That's marvelous. Mm. Now, where did he get his fish from then? He fished,
well,
he went fishing himself, or he?
No. The back in those days, there were only two or three people who were peddling fish, and my father was one of them,
mm-hmm.
and G.W. George Wong
mm-hmm.
was the other one, and incidentally George Wong also came from Locke, and there was one other fellow, I forgot his name, and I think they were all Jongsons,
mm-hmm.
and you see, one Jongson helped the other, you mm-hmm. see, and they bought their fish from Japanese wholesalers
mm-hmm.
who got it from Terminal Island,
oh,
where the Japanese fishing boats were.
Uh-huh.
That was the only source. And it was the only source in town,
mm-hmm.
and they also sometime went down to the San Pedro to pick up the fish from the Yugoslav fishing boats.
Oh, and then he would bring the fish and peddle it in Los Angeles.
Yes, he
in Chinatown?
Had a. Well, he had two stops. He had one that was. It's. Ferguson Alley on Alameda was the first alley in Old Chinatown. It was the next street, just north of Ferguson Alley, where you make the turn to Los Angeles Street now.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be another street, a steep incline, and. My father used to have his stop over there for half a day, and then the rest of the day, his stop would be at 9th and San Pedro.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. So then, how did your parents meet then, if your mother was in San Francisco and your father was in Locke?
Well, I don't really know how exactly, but it was an arranged marriage.
Oh.
And thinking back to, all the friends that my father had,
uh-huh.
and also thinking back to the neighborhoods, I could see that people's associations were the ties were mainly due to the dialects.
Uh-huh.
All the Jongsons stuck together,
mm-hmm.
all the Siups stuck together, and all the Goguangs stuck
uh-huh.
together. And I don't know how my father heard about a young lady who was
mm-hmm.
available for marriage,
uh-huh.
but he heard about it and made the arrangement.
Himself?
Yes.
So did he have to pay?
I imagine he did. I don't know. I only found this out,
uh-huh.
not from my folks, because they didn't talk about it. Saying, I found this out when I went searching for the family history in Locke, and I met some people there that knew my folks. That's the only way I knew.
Now, did your father ever go back to Hawaii to live?
No,
or
No.
Visit. How about his father, then, your grandfather? Did he remain in Hawaii?
He went back to China.
Oh, I see. And so the family never stayed, the rest of the family never stayed in Hawaii then?
Well, the family actually has, the family tree actually is doesn't hardly exist in China anymore.
They're
all in, the family tree is in South America, Central America, and Australia, and here.
I see. Now, did your father have brothers and sisters?
He's the only child.
He was the only child, see, so. So you're, so then when did you come down here to Los Angeles then?
Well, as soon as my father was able to have enough money to buy the little was a panel truck, and made enough money, then we came down to Los Angeles, my mother and the two of us, and the nearest, the farthest back I can remember, we at that time lived on San Julian Street, just between Olympic and 8th Street.
Mm-hmm. Were there other Chinese there?
Yes.
Most, how many other?
Well, there was it was all Chinese in that brick building on San Julian Street back then.
Oh, there was one brick building where all the Chinese families lived. How many families lived in that building?
Gosh, I don't know. I was too small then.
I see. Yeah. So, what year was that that you came to Los Angeles then?
It would have to be about 1931 or 32. Mm-hmm. Had to be around then.
I see. So you just have one sister then?
No.
Or since then you've had
other
brothers and sisters?
There's six of us.
Six of you.
Mm-hmm.
And now how did how did you come by your name?
Well, my mother had a book and she, according to what she told us, like my sister, her name came from that little, it was a novel. It was one of these, like Tom Sawyer's, one of these type of books that she was reading. And she came upon the name, and then I don't know how she came by my name. I have no idea.
How about the other children's names? They were all given English names also.
Yeah.
So your mother was the one who...
Well, my mother is very fluent in English.
I see. Now, did she attend school then? She
yes.
Was, well, she was nine.
Well, my father has a fourth grade education. My mother has a ninth grade education.
In English?
In English.
Both your parents have English education.
Yes.
How about Chinese education then? Did your father have Chinese education?
Yes, my father has some Chinese education. I don't know how much. He could read the Chinese newspaper. And my mother could read the Chinese newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And how much of a Chinese education, I really don't know. But my mother was, able to speak Chinese, English, and Spanish.
How did your mother come by Spanish?
She learned it in school.
Up in San Francisco?
Yeah.
Oh, how interesting.
Yeah. So my mother knew three languages. My father knows two.
Mm-hmm.
And his English is pretty poor.
Mm-hmm. I see. Now, and did your father ever make trips back to China?
No. He only made one trip, and that was at the end of the war.
Oh, I see. And was he planning to go back then to stay, or
no?
He
just wanted to see what kind of damage was done to the to that area there at the end of the war.
Did your family have property back there?
I don't know if they really did or not. My father took some money back and gave it to the village to rebuild the school or something.
Oh, I see. Now, where is this on your father's side?
My father's side.
What part of China did your father's side come from?
Zhongshan.
Oh, Zhongshan also.
Yeah.
Both sides.
Right.
And then by the time, let's see, I'll bring you back to Los Angeles. Now, you were living in the little red brick building, you said.
We moved from that brick building to 21st Street, And we moved quite often because during that period, that was the Depression. Mm-hmm. And the Depression for the Chinese people lasted all the way up into the second year of World War II. The Chinese people in our neighborhood. Mm-hmm. See, the history that I really know is this other stuff is spotty, mm-hmm. and how accurate I don't know. Mm-hmm. But the history that I know very well starts about 1936, mm-hmm. 37, and it centers on Cropper Street, 10th Street, and 9th Place, the City Market area.
I see.
And also the area covering. The area covering Washington Boulevard up to Adams. You want me to turn the heat on for you?
No, this is fine. This is all right. Now, how is it that you know this area so well then?
Well, I grew up there.
You grew up and you moved. You said you moved several times, but it was within this area?
Well, no, but see, by the time I was in, I knew all these areas from the time I was in junior high school up mm-hmm. through high school because we went to the Chinese schools, and at the Chinese schools we developed friends uh-huh. that lived in those areas,
uh-huh.
and so some of my friends lived as far as 26th Street, 27th Street, 21st Street.
And these are Chinese,
all Chinese,
Chinese kids.
Mm-hmm. Back in those days, our friends were limited to Chinese people, mm-hmm. and some of us. Well, of course, we knew black kids too, but the black children didn't live in our neighborhood. Mm-hmm. It was we had this racial restrictions back in those days, and the black people at that time couldn't live past Stanford Avenue mm-hmm. and north of 12th Street.
North of 12th Street.
Yes, north of 12th and. And they didn't live past San Pedro Street. They were confined to the boundary, which is east of San Pedro, north of 12, and east of Stanford.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think any of them lived farther north than Olympic Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
While the Chinese and the Japanese lived, we were confined east of Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about Chinatown area. Mm-hmm. At that time, I didn't know the Chinatown people that well.
Mm-hmm.
But we couldn't move past Main Street.
I see. So you were living around the City Market
yes.
area mostly.
Right.
And your father, was he connected with the City Market?
No. He was in the fish business.
I see. So he stayed in the fish business
yeah.
thereafter.
Right.
And he had a little fish store, I take it?
Yeah.
And then where was that located?
It's still there.
What is the address?
It's on 9th Place. It's Joe Key Fish Market.
Joe Key Fish Market on 9th?
Yeah, 9th Place.
Where is that? 9th Place and?
And it's, he has his own building right now. And
uh-huh.
it's, you might say the store is now semi out of business
mm-hmm.
because my father just goes there.
Mm-hmm.
He's 83 years old and the door is locked most of the time.
I see.
But he does have some small business just to keep busy.
I see. Now you said that your friends were mostly there and you went to Chinese school. Which Chinese school did you go
okay.
to?
Okay. Okay. Would you like to hear something about the Chinese schools?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Back in those days, we went to public school. And right after public school, we would go to Chinese school.
Mm-hmm.
Chinese school was 3 hours. And I think we started at 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had 1 hour, and then we had a 10-minute recess, and then another hour, and a 10-minute recess, and another hour, and then we went home. Most of us lived in the neighborhood. Those days, the school was the Zhonghua Hokhao.
Where was that located?
Zhonghua Hokhao was schools that was sponsored by the Zhonghua Weigun.
Uh-huh.
And that's the what they call the benevolent association,
uh-huh,
not the family association, but
uh-huh.
the what I nicknamed the Chinese Kangaroo Court. but they settled their affairs over there, you know.
I see.
And they had three schools, one that was located on 10th and Crocker, mm-hmm. which is the one I attended. And they had one on 23rd and I forgot what's the name of that street. That's just the first street east of San Pedro Street. And that was the second one. And then the main one was in Chinatown.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Japanese at that time had their schools also, and it was on Town Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And they had their big one on 21st Street.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference between their school and our school was that they had a lot of money,
mm-hmm.
probably supported from back in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And they had buses that used to pick up their kids mm-hmm. and take them to school, where we didn't. We walked to our schools.
Oh.
And our Chinese schools, we learned, we weren't allowed to speak English.
In Chinese school?
In Chinese school, we spoke Chinese.
Now, who were your teachers then?
Okay, our teacher, the most well-known teacher there was Tom Kim Fong. People know him now as Kim Fong.
Oh.
And he was very popular with the parents. He was a student at USC, and I believe he now owns a couple of restaurants. I'm not real sure, but he's still around town here. It was his reputation that built up the school, starting at Tent and Crocker.
Mm-hmm.
He was
How
very
many
well
students
known.
Were there?
Oh, there were a lot of students. Our classes, we had a I wouldn't be a bit surprised if we had a couple hundred.
Now, what years were this that the school operated then?
It was, it operated back in the 40, 41, 42,
mm-hmm.
around then.
Around then?
Yeah.
Not earlier than that.
It could have been earlier, but let's see. Yes, I think it was early. Could have gone back to 1938.
Mm-hmm.
Could have gone back then.
I see. And then how about the other two schools? Do you know anything about those schools?
Well, every year we would have a picnic where all the three schools got together.
Uh-huh.
And they would hire the buses and we'll get together. And also, once a year we have what we call Jiong Ban.
Oh.
We say,
uh-huh.
for the best student, and he'll get books and
uh-huh.
pens and so forth for honor.
Uh-huh.
And then we were also doused with a lot of propaganda.
Uh-huh.
And they would put on Chinese uniform and try to indoctrinate us about how cruel the Japanese was,
mm-hmm.
and so forth. We had a pretty good dose of it.
Uh-huh. Now, you attended school, so from 4 to 7.
Yeah.
And then after that, you went home and had dinner then?
That's right.
Then how many years did you attend school?
I attended...
How old were you when you started?
I attended Chinese school all the way up to the last year of high school. So I have about 9 years of Chinese education.
9 years of Chinese education. That's,
yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Now, did all your brothers and sisters attend?
Yes, they all did, except
uh-huh.
I'm the only one that really could... converse, and
uh-huh.
I could read the newspaper, not
uh-huh.
too good, but I could read it.
That's very good.
Yeah.
Now, when you said that they held picnics, where were they held?
I think, as I recall, I think they were at Griffith Park.
I see.
And I want to tell you something about the school, the curriculum that we had. We had, we studied history,
mm-hmm.
and we studied Chinese literature.
Mm-hmm.
And the Chinese literature we had was in two parts. We had classical literature, and we had the what they call Bakwa, which is the common language, and we had geography. So we had a very good education.
And this was taught in Cantonese.
In Cantonese.
And then where were the teachers from mostly? Now this is Tom Kim Fong.
Yeah.
One teacher.
And then another one was a fellow named Wong.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they were students, some of them were, I think most of them were students in the university,
mm-hmm.
during those days. Of course, back in those days, they looked pretty old to me, but thinking back, I would say they were students, and they had a very totalitarian type of attitude toward the children. I mean, there was no sass at all.
Mm-hmm.
And when it came to getting the switch, you got it.
So what did they use on you?
Stick.
The stick, not a bamboo or anything?
No,
like
it was a stick. Yeah.
I see.
Oh, yeah.
Now, when you were living, you know, around the city market area, now, what do you remember about your childhood there?
Well, the thing that I... Re-